Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming for me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing the biggest stay here.
Never come back again.
You see, Jason was my son, and today is his birthday.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Nathan Barker, joined by my fellow counselor, Eric Walford.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And tonight we have a special guest returning on the show. He previously appeared on episode 25, and that is Friday the 13th, part 3 alumnus and attorney at law, Mr. Larry Zerner. How are you this evening, Larry?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing really good. All right. Well, in recent light of Paramount pulling the plug on the newest Friday film, we thought you would be the perfect person to share thoughts on the state of the franchise up to this point. Now, we know fans want to see a film done by Paramount, so at this stage, is that even a possibility with all the legalities and?
Sure. It's a possibility. I don't know what's going on, you know, inside the minds of Paramount, but I can give you some background on what's going on legally, and that'll give you some basis to draw your own conclusions. So let me give you a little background. As you know, as most of us know, in 1980, Victor Miller was hired to write the Friday the 13th screenplay. There was a 2-page contract drawn up. He was paid about $9,200 to write the script, and he wrote the script. Now, there is a provision in the Copyright Act that says 35 years after someone transfers a copyright, they can terminate that transfer. They can send a termination and get back those rights. So what happened was in 2016, last year, Victor sent a termination notice to this company called Horror Inc., which is in essence the company that owned the copyright to the film, which is Sean Cunningham's company, and gave notice that he was going to terminate his transfer of the copyright in the Friday the 13th screenplay and was going to take it back. Now, the way it works when you terminate, you have to give a 2-year notice. So the termination is a little thing that he sent one, and there was a mistake in it, so he sent another one, and I guess the second one matters, and that one was sent on June 30th, 2016. So the termination does not go into effect until July 1st of 2018. So there's still a year and 3 months pretty much until Paramount loses those rights. So in theory, they can get a movie out. I think they'd have to have the movie out and get through the DVD and the other stuff before then. I'm not sure. That's a sort of a new issue. I can't give you a definitive answer as to whether they have to get the DVD out before then as well, because until the rights terminate, you can still do stuff on the film. And what happened? So Victor sent out this termination, and Sean's company filed a lawsuit, and they said, "Hey, take it back a second, one more second. There's an exception to this rule that you can terminate a transfer, which is one exception is if you did the work as a work for hire, which is a legal phrase in copyright, a work for hire. If you're a writer, you know that phrase, work for hire. And if you're a work for hire, then the employer owns the copyright and you can never terminate it. So Sean basically sued Victor for a declaration from the court that says this contract was an employment contract. Victor was working as a work for hire, and therefore he cannot terminate. And so that is the issue that the court is being asked to determine. Was this contract a work for hire agreement, or was it just an independent contractor agreement and Victor can terminate? And so that's what the court will decide. Now, normally under normal copyright theories, in a work-for-hire agreement, you want to see the words, this is a work-for-hire. And you, that, those are sort of the magic words that you want to see in a contract to say this is a work for hire. And those words are not in the contract between Victor and Sean's company. So that's the big that's the big hook that, that Victor is on. Also, even if you don't have those words, there's a certain analysis over whether or not you're a regular employee. So, you know, if you're an employee of a company, and there's a number of factors that go into whether you're not, you're an employee, like are you paid a salary or are you paid by the project? Or do they supply you with equipment? Do they make you work at their place of work, right? These are all things that would make someone an employee. And Victor said none of those things apply, right? I worked at home. I set my own hours. They were just paying me for this one thing. Those are all in things that indicate this was a independent contractor, not an employment agreement, and therefore I should win. And so these are all the issues that will go on. Now, the trial, I don't know that there is a trial date set, but I don't know when it is. It's probably at the end of this year. It'll be in Connecticut. And so there's this sort of unknown thing about whether or not, whether how the court will rule. Now, all that being said, Paramount can deal with this anytime by making an agreement with Victor. They can go, well, look, there's this uncertainty, and this may have been a negotiating issue, right? We're going to file this lawsuit, make Victor worry that maybe he'll lose everything because if he doesn't get the rights back, he can't do anything with them, and then we'll negotiate some deal. And I'm not going to be surprised if they come out and say, okay, we settled this case and we made some deal and. That's certainly possible that there'll be some deal made, and that's how normally these things happen. That an agreement is made as to between the writer and Paramount will keep the rights, and they'll pay Victor, you know, something for basically each movie that comes out.
Okay, yeah, we had Sean on the show recently. Well, fairly recently. It was back, I believe, in October. And, of course, nothing was mentioned about this particular situation, but he did make reference to that if the film had not been started sometime in March, that we probably wouldn't see a 2017 Friday film. So, and then all of a sudden,
That's just because they're not going to release a Friday 13th right in November, December, because that's not, right, that's awards movies, right? You just don't release a Friday 13th movie, you know, after October.
Sure. But it is nice to hear that, you know, Paramount still does have that, you know, I guess, option to get one off the ground if they choose to do so.
If they want to, they can put it out in January if they want to. I mean, they just, you know, just in the movie business, they wouldn't put one out in November, December.
Yeah. And that makes perfect sense. And we didn't expect one to be out at that time anyway. But, you know, Sean's, when he was on the show, he didn't mention anything, you know, about the other stuff. It was just, you know, simply what you said, that if it's not going by then, we're not going to see one. But, you know, it sounds like Friday's not dead with Paramount like most people think that it is at this point.
Eventually, there will be another Friday 13th movie. It's just a question of making a deal. So whether or not they go, well, we're going to wait and see what. So both sides have something to lose, right? There's going to be a trial. One side's going to win. One side's going to lose. If Paramount loses, then they can't really make a movie unless they get, you know, pay Victor what he wants. If Victor loses, he gets no money. So there's an incentive for both sides to try and come to some deal on what that should be.
Absolutely. Now, in your professional opinion and what you, you know, observe, do you think that Paramount will actually send us another film, or do you think we'll be seeing it from somebody else?
I don't know. I mean, they did make that deal, right? They got I mean, it was just crazy, right? They made that deal to get the rights back from Warner Brothers, and then they never made a movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. So, I mean, it makes sense for them to have. See, here's the thing. So, Paramount owns the trademark to the words Friday the 13th, which is why all the until the remake, right? Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X, Freddy vs. Jason, right? They weren't using the Friday 13th title, because the title is owned by Paramount. I'm not sure that if it went somewhere else, they could use the title Friday 13th. And that's the key thing, right? You need that title. So Paramount has that in their pocket, and I think that they will put out a movie eventually. Well, you know, I think for all the fans are like, why is this taking so long? It's not that hard to make. You could have made 3 Friday the 13th movies, 4. I mean, you could have made a whole bunch of Friday the 13th movies and just put them out, and you would have made money as opposed to, you know, waiting for some, you know, the I don't know what they're waiting for, you know, the pristine Friday the 13th movie to come out. I don't know why it's so difficult for them to get it made. Make them low, you know, lower the budget. Just get them out. I heard they're making like $20 million budgets. I mean, put it out at $5 million, you'll make money.
I agree with that totally. I mean, is it a little mind blowing? I mean, you have the Friday equivalent of the psycho shower scene. I mean, and 35 years later, we're on the verge of a good documentary. Is that a little mind blowing for you? And did you think that it would have this much relevance that 35 years later?
I want to say yes, that when I was making the movie, I was like, it's Gone with the Wind and Casablanca and Friday the 13th Part 3. I do want to say that that's what I thought.
That is awesome.
But absolutely, of course not, right? Of course I didn't. Who thought, right? You're in a Part 3, you know? It's like, and there weren't, at the time, there weren't a lot of, right? There weren't this thing of movies doing lots of sequels, right? That thing didn't really exist in 1982.
No, it didn't.
When was Halloween 3?
Yeah, right.
And after, right? So we were the first 3.
I think you were. Yeah, and I mean, that's a very valid point, because oftentimes when comparing Friday and Halloween, it gets wrapped up that, you know, that about John Carpenter and Victor Miller and how they wrote and whatever. But Part 3, you guys kicked ass. I love Season of the Witch. You guys kicked ass.
Yeah, well, yeah, Part 3 is good, especially if you see it in 3D. If you haven't seen it, if you're listening and you haven't seen it in 3D, try and see it in 3D. Not on the DVD. Try and go to a screening in 3D if they ever show it somewhere.
Absolutely. I have had a chance to actually see that once, and it definitely makes a world of difference. And, yeah, you know, Friday 3 definitely does kick ass. It's one of my favorites. And obviously, you know, this many years later, you know, having talked to, you know, some of the other people involved with it, everybody's reaction kind of seems the same. And that is to, you know, yeah, we never really thought it was going to be as big of a thing as it is now, you know, reflecting back then with all the collectibles and, you know, the posters and t-shirts and all the memorabilia and stuff. So it's just got to be amazing to be a part of something like that.
It is. It absolutely is. Yeah, yeah.
So with that in mind,
I mean, when I meet people and they know, it's like jelly. It's like, who could think that? I just, you know, people who weren't born, right, when the movie came out.
Sure. And speaking of meeting people, Eric and I will be seeing you at Days of the Dead Indianapolis.
Absolutely.
Oh, great.
So we will definitely make it a point to stop by and say hey and catch up a little bit more.
I hope you do. I have never been to Day of the Dead and never been to Indianapolis, so I'm looking forward to it. It's my first. I haven't even done a convention in I think 3 years. So
they do a great show. It's a good venue. They do a great show.
I'm really excited because they're bringing the entire cast of Dawn of the Dead and George Romero. And that's my favorite horror movie. That's the one that got me. And so it's like, I'm just going to take all the money I get from autographs and spend it on their autographs.
Nice.
So you haven't been in the con circuit for a while. Is there any other, do you plan to venture out throughout the country? I know you're swamped and, we won't take much more of your time, but, are the fans going to get to see you anywhere soon?
I'm busy, right? I'm a lawyer, and so it's not always easy. But I like to do con. I don't get asked. You know, I don't have an agent who puts me out there. But if anybody's listening and has a con and says, "Oh, we'd love to have Shelley," reach out. I mean, if I can do it, I'll come out.
Awesome. Now, actually, let's talk a little bit about the Friday the 13th Part 3 documentary. There's been a lot of buzz about that, and obviously you're tied in with that project. Can you maybe, you know, chat a little bit about your experiences with what you're involved in with the documentary?
Well, I mean, I was interviewed, so that's about my involvement. But it, you know, the people involved are so dedicated, and you know, they you know, it's really a labor of love, and so I'm looking forward to it. They really you know, they put a lot of work into it, so it should be good.
Absolutely. I seen recently that they've been looking for, you know, rare photos and, you know, different things related to the film, you know, to add, you know, to what they already have. I didn't know maybe if you were able to help them out with, you know, anything related to that.
I wish I had that. You know, I never brought a camera and I never took any pictures. My loss, really. Should have.
Yeah, obviously I know you were interviewed for that, but I just thought maybe there might have been some other involvement that you were able to help them out with, you know, some of the other stuff that they were looking for to make it extra special.
Sometimes they'll ask me some legal questions and I'll give them an answer, but
Nice. Yeah, Sean Richards is doing a great job with that, and you know, Joe Quintanilla, you know, Kevin Phipps, Ruben Angelo, we've had them guys on the show. They're going to come back and chat a little bit about that after it's released, so we're really looking forward to that and glad everybody could come together and, you know, make something special for the fans.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you for your time, Larry. We won't tie you up anymore. We know you're a busy guy. We just appreciate you being able to join us and chat a little bit about what's going on.
All right. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to seeing you in Minneapolis.
Yes, sir. Sounds... Thank you for being on.
Absolutely. Okay. We will look forward to that. Thank you. Well, all right. That wraps up another episode of Return to Camp Blood, so please rate and review wherever you listen to the show at. This episode was brought to you by Friday the 13th Part 3 Memoriam Documentary of Richard Brooker and FridayThe13thFranchise.com. Until next time.